Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin Q.
Hurry.
Quicken. With our guest, Julie Carrick, episode 160.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Well, hi, Deaconess Dee. How are you?
I wouldn't go that far. Hey, I got one word to say.
Yes.
Brr.
Oh, it is cold.
It's cold here in north central Arizona.
It is. And I was telling you yesterday or the day before that we were going to turn the heat off at night and get under our warm electric blanket. When I get up this morning, holy Moses, and I turned the furnace on and it just ran. And well, it's a heat pump.
Yeah.
It ran and ran and ran.
I know I can hear it because the mechanism is outside our
patio
door.
Our patio, yeah. Holly, Bandit, our dog, got up, did his business, ate his breakfast, got up on the couch while I was doing morning prayer, and after about 5 minutes, he jumped down and said, "I'm going back into the bedroom."
I don't think he hopped up on the bed with me, but I think he went into his own little cozy little bed.
Right, where it's a little warmer back there.
Yes.
So what else is new, dear? Sunday?
Oh, it's Sunday, and this past week was a disappointment.
Oh, boy, it sure was. Our retired deacon, who preaches maybe once a month or every so often, preached at the three English Masses today, and you and I were at the nine. I was on the altar with him. Somebody said it was like a high mass. Mm-hmm. Two deacons and a priest. But at any rate, he preached, and while his topic was on the readings for the Mass for today, he couldn't help but end making some remark about God's hand being stayed by prayerful Catholics and about the displeasure of supporting a government that continues to promote abortion and same-sex marriage and other things that are going to be problems, religious freedoms, etc.
Why? It's just what I keep asking.
I know. Well, as he pointed out in his remarks, we are a very divided country, and a lot of people have not followed the lead of the church, which I think is something that we will all have to face at some time or another.
That's my why.
Sure.
Okay, do we want to talk about our diet anymore?
Well, we could just say that you've lost an inch. That's wonderful.
I've lost an inch in two different places.
Good.
But pound-wise, I'm not dropping like you are.
Why don't we just say TMI? We don't want to cover it. And yes, I've lost some weight. I feel a little better, and we're going to continue on. I hope we'll
do this
a couple months or more.
I'm not going to be discouraged. Everybody's different. Every body's different.
Right.
Every metabolism is different. So,
what else do we have on our little list or our tickler list for the show?
Just to remind everybody, we have Catholic Vitamins bumper stickers if you'd like one.
Oh, yes.
Tell them what it says.
There's three lines on it. The top line says, "Nourish your faith." The bottom line says, "From A to Z." And in the middle, in bigger letters, is CatholicVitamins.com. So we hope that some friends will help to publicize Catholic Vitamins. We also have some bumper stickers promoting the Eucharist, Christ's true presence. And I'm going to be preaching again about that in the parish and hope to give some more of those away.
And as the way podcasts go, you know, it could be weeks till you're hearing this when you have time to listen. So there's no time limit on this, like some of the contests that we run. You want it? Just email us and let us know. Give us your name and your address.
We're always doing book giveaways or sometimes CD giveaways. So you have to let us know when you write in or call in what your interest is, but we'll try to respond. Well, dear, as we quicken our way into today's show.
Oh, I'll listen to you.
Aren't I cute? No, you wouldn't say that. Mariana is in the wings, and I know she's got a reflection on quicken that will interest you because, in part, it has to do with our old homeland, Estes Park.
Ooh, hurry, hurry, I want to hear it.
This is Mariana Bartholomew with the Missionary Moment. The main sewage pipe in my house broke when my parents were away on a little trip. It was a flood of foul nature. My grandparents, aiming towards sainthood by babysitting seven children to give my parents a break, called the plumber, then grabbed mops and buckets. We had just moved that year. My parents returned to sort crates, but sewage had saturated everything. Later, my family visited Estes Park, Colorado, just 2 weeks after the Lawn Lake Dam in Rocky Mountain National Park gave way, unleashing a nearly 30-foot wall of water through the roaring river drainage on through downtown Estes Park. In her trip journal, my mother wrote about seeing, and I quote, "the raging, churning Big Thompson River and the debris, like a suitcase, a part of a bathtub connected to a wall, chairs, clothing, one gym shoe, one boxing glove, etc. Our own histories can help us connect with others during times of trial. I can't be there on the East Coast to see its monumental cleanup efforts, but I can recall a late winter flood that thrust waterfalls through window wells into my basement. I can recall that feel of soaked blue jeans and gloves saturated by grit. We grabbed shovels and hatchets to dig trenches, trying to divert water from our house. It was night. We were all just recovered from respiratory infections and coughing as everyone down to the 8-year-old dug through turf and grappled with the pump, trying to expel water from our window wells faster than it could pour in. Oddly, just days before forecasts of storms and Hurricane Sandy, my husband and I worked with my daughter on imprinting a design on mugs to give as gifts and to sell to raise college funds. My daughter loves Japanese haikus and drew scenes set to a number of these ancient poems. For the mugs, we chose a delicate figure of a Japanese lady, bareheaded in the rain, accompanied by this 17th century haiku from Matsuo Basho. A cold rain starting and no hat. So? The lady in the scene has a wry expression on her face, and the message is a nudge to be good-humored and persevering in the face of hardship. Now, a stroll in the rain or a basement flood is nothing like the misery of those along the East Coast or wherever such storms wreak havoc. Yet the message remains the same. An uplifted spirit carries one a long way. In my mom's journal describing the Estes Park flood, she told about store signs displaying these words, "We're open, the gutsiest little town in Colorado." One humorous sandwich shop sign read, "We are sandwiched in. We didn't create this Munster, but we are trying to clean up the debris," with, of course, Munster and brie spelled like the cheeses. The pictures in Mom's yellowed Trail Gazette newspaper are of an almost unfathomable mess. The dam break left Estes Park drowning in muck. One picture shows an exhausted young man bowed over and cradling his head. Yet Estes Park is beautiful today. People overcame by God's grace. That's seen time and again in areas like New Orleans or the neighborhood around the former World Trade Center in New York. Tragedy has its hour, but then with God's grace, people's indomitable spirits win the day. Amidst Hurricane Sandy, God's grace certainly seemed active in those engineers and fire department inspectors who climbed 74 flights of stairs to inspect a construction crane dangling dangerously from a Manhattan high-rise. And God's grace seemed quietly working in the mom and daughter who left their blackened New York apartment amidst power outages. They found a barely open grocery store down the street and bought supplies so they could make and distribute bags of granola to the hungry. And God's grace was certainly boldly present in 19-year-old Zoe Everett, who learned that Hurricane Sandy winds blew a tree onto her parents' car as they drove through Mendham Township in New Jersey on October 29th. Miraculously, the children in the car survived. Tragically, the parents did not. The Rutgers University student left college to become the guardian of her three younger siblings, aged 11 through 17. Donations from concerned people across the nation are helping Zoe keep her family home until she can work through details of what parenthood for her will bring. After receiving aid and encouragement, she wrote, My family has been so blessed, and we would like to be able to do the same for others who have suffered the misfortune of Hurricane Sandy. A tranquil spirit amidst chaos is a God-given gift. When I worked at Catholic Extension Society, requests for funds came in after natural disasters. Extension teams would travel to assess damages and offer comfort. People gathered near collapsed churches to celebrate Mass, thanking God Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament was not lost. When some horrible event destroyed their homes, people talked of their blessings and how their community would survive and thrive. What amazes me is the global reach of community today. About a month ago, a priest from the East Godavari region of India contacted me, saying he was a Catholic Vitamins listener and that trials faced by missionaries in the United States sounded like his own. As Hurricane Sandy hit our shores, Father emailed that he was fasting and praying for our nation. He gathered parishioners before the Blessed Sacrament to pray for America. Within days, the worst flooding in 20 years hit his region of Andhra Pradesh, displacing 80,000 people. I just spoke with this young pastor on the phone. He is praying for not only his own people, but for those still suffering from Hurricane Sandy. Hopefully, we too will find ourselves quickened into praying, volunteering, and giving donations toward flood recovery. And as we pray for storm-beset residents of the East Coast, let's remember we are part of a global mystical body. Let's pray for the world's needs, for our brothers and sisters in places like Andhra Pradesh, and for the courageous priests, religious, and lay people serving them. It's awesome knowing that fervent souls on distant shores are praying for us. We can weather our storms together. And whenever life seems to be tumbling down around us, perhaps we can recall these words from Scripture, from James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Well, did you like that, hearing about Estes Park again, dear?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we could just talk the rest of the podcast about Estes Park. And even though the Lawn Lake flood and then a previous one in the 70s, the Big Thompson flood, were before we lived there, but we have talked to many locals, many people who lived through it. And there's all kinds of pictures in the, you know, like the library and museums and that about that.
In fact, we knew some people in Houston, and their grandparents lived in Estes Park in that time, and they had to climb the side of a mountain to get up above the flood waters that were rising so quickly.
The grandfather's cabin was right down along the river.
Yeah, and what they told us is that they could see cars turning end over end, like headlights still on.
This was after dark.
Yeah, it was after dark. So this was very quick and very scary.
And these boys were young, so it would have been scary.
Well, Mariana, such a beautiful missionary heart and talent, she let us know that she is involved in this Indian missionary effort. And I did a little bit of looking on the internet before we started the show. The flooding that they've had there, you might ask why, with our own problems in America, we would be talking about the floods in southern India. You know, we have good relief services that are getting started and people will be helped, maybe not in as timely a fashion as we like on the East Coast. But 1.5 million people were estimated to have fled the floods in southern India. And one emergency shelter that I read about had 80 to 100,000 people in it who were there because they lost their homes. So this is a pretty widespread area and in need of a lot of help. And we're going to put information on our blog page if you'd like to look into this. And Mariana has been in touch with the priest. She's also been in touch with Caritas of India. And so we'll have some contact information if you feel like you'd like to help.
I think there is some controversy over going and helping other countries when we have so much that we could do right here. But still, I don't think we can always turn our back on countries that are so poor that can't do this on their own. Like our own daughter is over in Haiti right now. with a mission group, and their I think their job this trip was they're delivering and installing water filters in many homes.
You know, America is a very, very rich country, and we have the resources to work on our problems here. After the big hurricane, the problem on the East Coast has just been to get in and to get utilities set back up. But we have the resources to solve these problems in a place like India, not so much.
Don't get me started. Think about all that money that they spend on the campaigns.
Yeah, I know.
How far that would go. Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, I think Fergal has a reflection on Quicken, and we're going to bring Fergal up, and then we'll be into our guest interview.
In 2 Maccabees, chapter 12, verses 43 to 46, we read the following. And making a gathering, he, Judas, sent 12,000 drachmas of silver to Jerusalem for sacrifice to be offered for the sins of the dead, thinking well and religiously concerning the resurrection. For, if he had not hoped that they that were slain should rise again, it would have seemed superfluous and vain to pray for the dead. And, because he considered that they who had fallen asleep with godliness had great grace laid up for them, it is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. November is traditionally the time the church reminds us to pray for those who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. From eschatology, we know that there are three final destinations for all souls: heaven, purgatory, and hell. But because we can't know, aside from those the church has already beatified or canonized, who is in heaven, or who is in purgatory for a time, or who sadly may be lost, we pray for the dead for the rest of our lives, assuming that they are in purgatory, while hoping they are in heaven and not lost. This prayer that we offer on their behalf quickens their journey towards heaven. And indeed, we can remember too that any indulgences that we gain may be applied to the holy souls in purgatory for a quick release into heaven. We also ask those who've died to pray for us. While those whom the church has deemed to be of the church triumphant, namely the canonized saints, are in heaven for certain, and are therefore not in need of our prayers, we in turn ask them to pray for us. As to the church suffering in purgatory, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that they are not able to know by themselves our prayers. However, it is believed and thought by St. Alphonsus Liguori that God makes our prayers known to them, not directly, as they are deprived of the beatific vision until they enter heaven, but by infusing this knowledge into their souls. St. Robert Bellarmine teaches that because the church suffering is so close to God, much closer than we are, and having the great consolation of knowing they are saved, their prayers for us are extremely effective. So, this November, as you pray for your dead friends and relations, don't forget to ask them in turn to pray for you too.
Anima, body of Christ.
Well, next up on Catholic Vitamins, we're on the phone with a wonderful recording artist and inspirational speaker, Julie Carrick. We are probably only separated by 85, 90, maybe 100 miles. We're both in Arizona. You are in Arizona today, aren't you?
Yes, today I'm in Arizona. I'm at home in Scottsdale.
There you go. Our guest is Julie Carrick, and she is looking at her little bit of bio material on the website, an international speaker, an inspirational speaker, a respect-of-life person. She's a recording artist, and I know some people that go to church where Julie is involved in music ministry, and it's just a great joy to be on the phone with you. I knew of you a long time ago when we were up in Colorado. I think I heard you, Julie, when you were on the Franciscan radio program, the interview. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does. It does.
Well, there may be some of our listeners who have not heard the name Julie Carrick, and they don't know about Carrick Ministries. So we've got a lot of ground to cover in the time that we have. Why don't we start with you as a young person? Where did you grow up, and what was your faith like?
Sure. I grew up in Michigan in a small town called Free Soil, and a lovely little Midwestern town. And it was a delight to grow up in a Catholic family. My mom and my dad were both cradle Catholics, as I was. Born and raised in the faith. I have seven brothers and sisters, and my life growing up was lovely. It was it was filled with all of the joys and trials, I guess, of growing up in a large Midwestern household. We had the delight of things like, you know, we could basically be our own baseball team. playing sports, and I was involved with cheerleading in high school, and music was always a part of my life. I also was very fond of equestrian activities, and I raised a horse, and it was a wonderful lifestyle, and it was great to have all of the seasons of the year, you know, snow and the beautiful colors of autumn and beautiful springs and summers. And music was always a part of my life. From the time I was a young girl, I was only 5 when I sang my first public solo.
Wow.
My brother was in his first communion at the age of 7, and I sang the song, "Jesus, See Your Children Kneeling at Your Feet." Mm-hmm. And so my grandfather really passed down this great gift to my mother, who passed it down to me. And so, you know, growing up in that kind of an atmosphere was lovely. And being able to have the privilege of being in the Catholic Church my whole life has really been the foundational grace that I have needed throughout the years as I grew and developed into young womanhood and eventually becoming a married woman and beginning my family. It was remarkable to have the great grace of our Catholic faith as that foundation.
Okay, great. So tell us about when you left home. What were was it college or some other circumstance?
Well, actually, home left me first. It was kind of an interesting thing. My parents, when I was a senior in high school, relocated to Arizona, and I stayed actually with my grandmother during the time that my parents were selling their home and everything and moving to Arizona. I was planning on graduating at mid-year from high school and then going right into college. And so my parents had actually moved to Arizona before I did. And then in January of 1982, I joined my parents after graduating mid-year in high school in Michigan, and I then went out to Arizona, and they were up in the Flagstaff area, the northern part of the state of Arizona, quite a lovely, beautiful mountainous area. And I was there, and my then high school sweetheart followed me out. He was finishing college at Grand Valley. It was then Grand Valley College, now it's Grand Valley State University. But he was in college there and decided to follow me to Arizona, where he proposed to me, and we then went through our courtship in Flagstaff, Arizona, and we married there in 1983, And then we moved from Arizona right after our wedding. We moved to Germany, where my husband was stationed with the United States Army, and I worked for the Department of Defense for the Engineering and Housing Division. And so it was an interesting journey for very young people. Married, started our family, and our family started in Germany. We had our two daughters while we lived there. And my husband's family is made up of his mom, who was born and raised in Germany, and so he had a lot of family there. So when he finished his enlistment, we stayed on in Germany for another 2 years after, and it was just wonderful to get to know that side of my family a little bit and have our daughter's initial first years there in Germany before moving back to the States in 1988.
Do I recall that there was a rocky period in your marriage?
Yes, there was. There were some difficulties, and I'm going to kind of jump ahead a little bit to that point. One of the most difficult times in our marriage was after moving back to the United States, and we had resettled in Arizona. My husband worked for the Department of Public Safety for those next number of years, which is part of the reason that we had relocated down to Scottsdale, Phoenix. I was kind of really starting to move forward in the concert ministry. I had begun writing music and I had done an initial recording in Flagstaff. And then when we moved down to Phoenix, the ministry continued to develop, and it was really quite remarkable the things that God was calling me to with regard to sharing the music, the message of the gospel, and the beautiful foundational truths of the Catholic faith. And so it was in 2004, at which point our family had grown to three children. Our son had been born in 1992 before we moved here. But anyhow, in 2004, while living here in the Valley, our oldest daughter, who, by the way, has given us permission to share a bit of her story, Adel is her name. Adel was the victim of a sexual assault, which was very, very life-changing for her as she had become pregnant from that assault. And during that time, watching my husband kind of struggle with the fact that here is a man who works for the Department of Public Safety, his own daughter couldn't really be protected against some of the evils in society, and his department really didn't seem to be doing a whole lot to try to apprehend the perpetrator of the act. And he was really frustrated with life. And so one day while he was at work, he was going through the internet to try to find a friend that he had gone to high school with. And these two guys, they were chums through high school. And so he was looking for contact information. But instead of finding the name of that particular friend, he came across the name of a woman who he had dated actually back in high school. And the two of them began to correspond back and forth, and it wasn't very long before they both had kind of this very juvenile idea with kind of what it was like to be dating instead of living in the reality of their lives. And so they began an emotional affair that would come to the point that my husband was filing for divorce. And it was really a painful time to go through in our marriage. It was a most painful thing to not be able to do anything to help my husband out of kind of that depression that he was in, and then also at the same time to be feeling the pain of betrayal as I was watching my husband, you know, plan to leave our family to go begin a new life with this other woman. And it was very, very difficult to go through. And it finally came to a head in early January of 2005, when it was a direct intervention with our Blessed Mother. She has such a special place in my husband's heart and life, and it was she truly who, through kind of a miraculous touch in my husband's life, I believe was part of his 180-degree turnaround. And it was quite remarkable that as my husband was literally going toward the closet where we keep our luggage, he was going there to take a case to start packing. And when he was standing there at the hall in our home, he heard a woman's voice, just kind of this interior voice. And at first he thought he had heard it audibly. And all he heard was his name spoken, Kurt. And he kind of stopped and looked around the room, and he heard it again. Kurt, where are you going? What are you doing? This is your home. This is your family. And he said there was something about realizing that Mary was speaking to him that opened his eyes to what the real truth of life is, what the real truth of love is. And he immediately had a remorse for his actions and the life that he had been just really altering at that point. And so he came back to our room, and he told me, now he didn't tell me that day what had happened. It took him about a week before he had actually shared with me the experience, but he said it was in that moment realizing Mary's presence, the beautiful purity of who she is, that made him realize that the life that he was choosing was anything but a pure choice. And so her direct intervention in our lives was such a remarkable presence of grace. And it was right after that, it was in January of 2005, and in June of 2005, he left his position with the Department of Public Safety and joined the ministry full-time. Mm. So it was a remarkable turnaround in his life.
Well, Julie, there's so many areas that I would love to get into. Our vitamin for this show, our faith vitamin, is vitamin Q for quicken. I'd like to know what quickens your faith when things slow down or get confused for you, but it seems like the Blessed Virgin quickened your husband's turnaround to look at what he was about ready to leave.
If we consider faith, in my life, what I would love to speak to about that is that when I look at what it means to have the great gift of the Catholic faith as my greatest foundation, my greatest gift, and my greatest strength, faith, for me, it all boils down to the Eucharist. And when I look at the faith that it takes in order to know that we know that God is so present to us in the beautiful sacrament of Eucharist, that is everything. And for the times in my life that I've had struggles, whether it was in the situation with our marriage, whether it was in situations of health, back in 2008, I went through the journey of lung cancer. And having that faith foundation, that faith perfection within my life, knowing that God was so purposely present in the Eucharist, everything about my faith is buoyed up and confirmed through being with our Lord in the Eucharist. Times that I've had the privilege every day as I receive him in the Eucharist and become that living tabernacle, knowing that I carry him within me. And then the times that I have the privilege of sitting with him in Eucharistic adoration, mm-hmm. to look into his face and to know that he is looking into my heart and to know that he is speaking into my mind, these profound words that become the lyric of the song or the, you know, the content of the presentations that I offer. It is that faith, knowing that God is so perfectly present, I believe that is what allows me and confirms me to go forward.
Well, your topic of the Eucharist and adoration leads me into an area I wanted to get into. Your music ministry is so beautiful and so uplifting, and I know that there are some new songs that you've recently done, one called Adoration, one called Anima Christi, and is the third one At the First Eucharist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those three.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have asked you before we started recording, but I sure would love if we could play a couple of these on the show outside of our interview time together. Is that possible?
Oh, of course. I will be happy to send those over to you so that you can share those. Adoration, as I sat with the Lord, as I just described, when I look into his face, I don't, you know, with our human eyes, as we see in Mass, you know, we see the priest lift up the altar bread. We see him lift up the chalice of the wine. But there is something, you know, as we know that this happens when it is no longer bread and wine, but becoming the flesh and blood of Jesus, who we will receive. It's not like I see a piece of flesh, you know, when I look up into him. It's not that I see that in adoration, but I see him. I see his face. I see his presence. He is the living Jesus Christ. He is the living flesh and blood. Just as we see ourselves in the mirror, we see that living person. That's the image that we see, like the face of Christ looking back at us. And so he sees us, and he strengthens us, and he holds us up. And it's just an amazing thing that we could even be found worthy to be in the room with him, let alone to have such a privilege to be alone or in small numbers as we sit with him in adoration. What a privilege to be with the King of the universe.
Amen.
And as I was pondering that one day, just looking into his eyes, that song was written. And I'll make sure that I get that to you. And then the Anima Christi, when we think of the words of that beautiful prayer, the translation, soul of Christ, and then the beautiful words of that prayer, it's an amazing thing when we realize that when we say, you know, body of Christ, save me, because giving himself on the cross, giving himself at Calvary, shedding his blood, his body was the perfect sacrifice that did bring us salvation. So body of Christ, save us. When I hear the phrase soul of Christ, that is so powerful to me as a human being because it gives us that reality of eternal life. The soul continues on even after the temporary tent that we call this body that holds the soul inside of it. When our earthly body, it goes to rest, but the soul lives on forever. There's that eternal connection that we have with God. And hearing that phrase, soul of Christ, knowing that our soul goes to be with him in eternity, there's that eternal aspect of it. And blood of Christ inebriate us.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that every cell in our body is touched physically when we receive our Lord in the Eucharist. And it's changed. You know, it's changed, that word inebriated, when we become so filled with him that we are changed. That is powerful. That's an incredible image to take and hold on to. And there's just such a reality that happens for me when I think of that prayer of God being so caring and giving and loving and humbling himself the way that he did to come to us in human flesh. It gives such a great purpose and reality of Eucharist. And so the prayer, as I just simply used to pray it after communion, the Anima Christi, just became alive in me one day, and I couldn't just say it. I had to sing it, and that's where the melody wanted to be joined to that beautiful prayer. And so the Anima Christi is that. It's that prayer completely set to music.
Mm.
And then at that first Eucharist, especially in the time in which we are living, it's an ancient hymn of the church, but when I was recording the other two songs, I had the privilege of working with one of the cellists from the Indianapolis Symphony. And we were working together in Indiana, and the way that she felt that song as she was playing through it, I said, this just needs to be captured. And so we also recorded the ancient hymn at that first Eucharist, but in a way that stylistically it helps us to focus a little bit more on the words. You know, at that first Eucharist before you die, O Lord, you prayed that all be one in you, that he didn't come just for some, he came for all. And we need to humble ourselves and enter into that great call. And so that song at that first Eucharist took on such a fresh new meaning. And I'm excited to share that. So it's a great sharing.
There's a couple sidebars I want to do very quickly. One, about 2 months ago, we had on our show a young, at that time, pregnant college sophomore from up in Flagstaff who had been sexually assaulted and found out that she was pregnant. And she came on our show to tell us that she had made the decision to keep her child. And it reminded me so much of the beauty of the story of your daughter, Adel, this young woman has now given birth to a wonderful daughter, Elizabeth Ann, and we lift her in prayer, as well as your daughter, Adel, and your family. I just have to move on because I'm trying to get a couple other things in. My wife, Dee, and some women from our parish went to the Gathered in Grace Women's Concert or Conference in Phoenix. Gosh, how long ago was it? And they saw you. I'm sorry?
Yeah, March of this year, and then there was one in March of last year. So, yeah, Gathered in Grace, I think, was about a year and a half ago.
So they saw you perform at that, and they came back on fire. And I just want to thank you for that. But using the word quicken or quickly, tell us a little bit about Carrick Ministries.
Sure. Carrick Ministries is a nonprofit foundation that was founded back in 2005 so that the ongoing ministry that up until that point was just under my name. It was Julie Carrick and Julie Carrick Ministries. But I didn't want to be pigeonholed as one person because I believe that each of us, as we move forward in the gift that God has called us to, we kind of open a path sometimes. And we don't want the path to just be walked through by one. We want to bring as many people through with us as we can. And so Carrick Ministries Foundation, founded as a 501c3 nonprofit, was put into place so that we would be able to be in a position to assist additional artists. So, for instance, our daughter, Adel, to be able to have a foundation that would be in place so that she could be in a full-time ministry and still pay the bills every week. That was a big thing. And then we have a couple of other wonderful people who we are affiliated with through Carrick Ministries, like Doug Slater from Mesa, a tremendous man of faith with a great gift of music that really touches the hearts of young people. His music is really appropriate for youth, young adults, great ministry, and again, a respect for life. Doug was placed for adoption as a baby, and so he has kind of a unique story of respecting life as being the child that was placed for adoption and the way that he shares his life. And then, of course, Leighton Drake, a remarkable artist and a very powerful, we like to call him a motivational Catholic speaker because he motivates people to dig in deeply into their faith. Leighton is a convert to the Catholic faith and is an artist. So when I'm known to bring forward a gift of catechetical artistry through singing and speaking, Leighton does it through drawing and artwork, and he is divinely inspired as he creates some of these images and then speaks to the new evangelization in a most remarkable way from the aspect of someone who grew up really as an agnostic, but when he came to the realization of who God is through the Catholic Church, his life was transformed. And so he has a very powerful ministry for all ages. And his wife, Kim, is a great woman of faith and speaks so beautifully to life at all stages, and especially with regard to natural family planning, theology of the body. And they're a great, great Catholic family. Together. And then Father Mike Jolie from Virginia. He is a priest who lost his vision completely at the age of 6. And as he grew up, he just knew he was called to the priesthood. And he is one of a very few men who was allowed to be ordained completely blind. Mm-hmm. And so he is a remarkable person. And so the idea of these people bringing forward their gift, if there wasn't a way to really help them to financially be able to do this, it would be very difficult to be in the world, but not, we've got to be able to pay the bills and keep the lights on. And so the foundation was set up in a way to do the financial support of Carrick Ministries. So.
Oh, gosh. Well, in this year of faith, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, if you would like to quicken your faith, if you'd like to put on a parish mission or a concert or bring in one of their speakers, we'll put the linkage to Carrick Ministries on our blog page for this show. Julie, anything else? Like, where can people find your music?
They can find the music, of course, at carrickministries.com, where they can purchase the full albums. Many of the Catholic bookstores around the diocese carry it. And for people who like to download music, there's a link on our website at the It's right at the discography page. So when there's an overview of all the music, you can listen to samples of all of the music on the website and then click on the Download Here button, and you can actually purchase downloads of every song that's written and available. And those are the easiest ways to order the music. And there's also a toll-free number to the office in Scottsdale, which is 888-880-MUSIC. So again, that's 888-880-MUSIC. And that will take them right to the office where they can talk to Kurt or Adel or a couple of other folks that we have helping on occasion to fulfill orders of CDs and the DVDs. And the last thing is, we have two wonderful DVDs. One of them is called Living the Mass, and talk about a quick end. Oh my goodness, it's a great overview of the Mass in a two-hour concert setting, and that is a great project during the Year of Faith to really look at what it is we believe as Catholics. And that is going to be followed up soon by a DVD concert called Living Our Catholic Creed, which I just finished a 105-day tour in 15 states. And Living Our Catholic Creed is a remarkable project, and that will be out by the middle of November. So you'll be looking for that soon to be available.
Absolutely. Julie Kierig, it is a blessing to talk with you, and because we're not that far apart, I'm really hopeful that I can find a way to come to one of your venues or come to your parish sometime, and I'd like to meet you and give you a hug. It's just a great honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. And I'll make sure I get those music songs to you soon so that you can begin sharing those with your listeners as well.
Julie, we'll keep you in our prayers. Thank you again.
Thank you. God bless you.
Another good interview, dear.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Boy,
go ahead.
I enjoyed talking with her so much. I'm hopeful that we get to meet her down in the Phoenix Valley sometime.
I'm going to have to make a point of trying to meet her at maybe the next women's conference I go to. I think I've gone to two of them now where she's been in charge of the music for each of the women's conferences. And the first year, she actually was one of the speakers.
Mm.
And then the second year, her daughter told her story.
Adel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else do you want to say?
Well, I just had a note that I scribbled down about Lectio Divina. Okay. For a couple of weeks now, we've been doing a Lectio Divina Bible study. We're using the upcoming Mass readings for the upcoming week. And we've had between 6 and 12 people in attendance. And I think that's been very good. Would you agree?
Well, those who are coming, I think, are really interested in this format.
We've had some other people ask me about it, and so I'm hoping that we can expand this some. So what else are we going to do?
We have more people coming up to us and saying, you know, can we still come? And we're like, well, sure. You know, it's like new every week. So,
right.
Yeah. What is this one? This note about?
Oh, you know, it came to me, I'm going to be preaching this week, and I'm going to be talking about the Frontline Faith Project in one of my homilies. Frontline Faith is a show that we did a while back that supplies MP3 players filled with prayers and mass readings and things for our servicemen and women. And I just was thinking to myself, there's so many things to be involved in, like relief for the people back east, relief for the people in India, supporting our men and women since we're at Veterans Day. And if anyone struggles with this, I want to refer them back to the show we did a long time ago, A Vitamin D for Discernment. It may have been our first round, if not our first, then our second round of the alphabet. And listen to that show on discernment. I remember we had a wonderful priest who helped us look at that.
Right. You know, the Frontline Faith, I just saw just recently, either on Facebook or somewhere, that somebody had posted something about Frontline Faith, and I was like, oh, somebody else has discovered them.
Mm-hmm. And I saw the Catholic News Agency has picked up on them, and they did a feature article about them as well. Well, I think we have missed Justin Stroh for this week. I know he's carrying a big plate with lots on it all the time.
I know. I hope he doesn't pop in here right after we finish the podcast. So he'll be disappointed, and so will we. How about Vita Scrabble?
I think that'd be a good idea, yes.
For next time, Vita Scrabble. Our next vitamin will be vitamin R, ends in E, seven letters.
And remember that this vitamin was vitamin Q for quicken. In the year of faith, try to find something that quickens your faith walk. One, two, three little small things. I'll be talking to the moms group at the parish tomorrow morning after Mass.
Yes.
And part of what I'm going to be talking about is beginning to make a few simple changes to help them in their faith walk, I guess. I'll just say that. So Dee mentioned Vita Scrabble. That's the little tease for next time. Feedback number is 206-350-3789. And the email, which is always a safer way to reach us these days, catholicvitamins@gmail.com. I think we only had one correct winner.
One correct guess this time, and it was Susan in Florida.
All right.
Oh, and when she wrote in, she said, it means quicken. It means to impart enthusiasm, which is something you and Deacon Tom certainly do.
Oh,
thank you, Susan.
All right, well, that's, I think, a wrap for what is the show number that we did on this one?
160.
My.
Wow.
My heavens. All right, well, we do thank you. We thank our guest, Julie Carrick, and the people of Carrick Ministries. We thank Fergal and Mariana for their contributions, as always. And we hope to pick up Justin on our next show. Vitamin R, seven letters, ends in E, right?
Right. One plea.
What's that?
Listeners, especially new listeners, go to iTunes. If you download through iTunes, go to iTunes, go to our Catholic Vitamins podcast page, and give us a review and a rating. We'd just love to have a new review.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land.
Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. During our interview with Julie Carrick, we mentioned two of the recent songs that she's composed and is getting ready to release. We earlier in the show played Anima Christi, just a beautiful, beautiful piece. And we'll close with a rough cut. Julie talked about this. It's called Adoration.
Kneeling here before you now, I feel unworthy, Lord. Help me lift my eyes to see you looking into me, into a heart that longs to love you, into these eyes that beg to see, into my arms
that need your true embrace. Into my hearing, all my senses, into every breath I breathe. Soul is longing to be near you. I see beyond the bread your face. Kneeling here before you now, I wander in the awe. The God of life and grace, I see you looking into me, into a heart that longs to love you, into these eyes that beg to see, into my arms that need your true embrace, into my hearing, all my senses, into every breath I breathe.
Gift of love first come from you.